Tumayo po tayong lahat para sa tungo na pagbasa ng Salita ng Diyos. Makibukas po kayo sa aking Biblia sa Unang Timoteo, Kabanata 6, Talata 11 hanggang 21. Babasahin po natin ito sa Magandang Balita Biblia. Matatagpuan din ang passage na ito sa page 10 ng ating bulletin, or you can read along the screen. Lahat po na naka-underline na talata ay babasahin ng obligasyon. At matapos po pong basahin ang passage at sabihin, mga kaibigan, ito ang salita ng Diyos, kayo po ay sasagot ng salamat sa Diyos. Talata 11. Ngunit ikaw na lingkod ng Diyos, umiwas ka sa mga bagay na ito. Sikapin mong mamuhay ng matuwid, maka-Diyos, may pananampalataya, pag-ibig, pagtitiis, at kaamuan. Inuutos ko sa iyo sa harapan ng Diyos na nagbibigay buhay sa lahat at sa harapan ni Kristo Jesus na nagbigay ng mabuting patotoo sa harap ni Pontio Pilato. Siya'y darating na panahong itinakda ng mamagpala at kapangyarihan Diyos, hari ng mga hari at Panginoon ng mga Panginoon. Ang mayayaman sa material na bagay ay utusan mong huwag magmataas at huwag umasas sa kayamanang lumilipas. Sa halip, umasa sila sa Diyos na masaganang nagbibigay ng lahat ng mga bagay para sa ating kasiyahan. Sa gayon, makakapag-impok sila para sa mabuting pundasyon sa hinaharap at makakamtan nila ang tunay na buhay. Dahil sa kanilang pag-aangking mayroong sila nito, may mga naliis na sa mananampalataya. Sumayin niyo ang kagandahang loob ng Diyos. Mga kaibigan at kapatid, ito ang salita ng Diyos.
Salamat.
Maraming na po tayo ako.
Crossroads Church, Dubai. Ako po si Pastor Alvin, ang leading po yung isa sa mga elders po ng iglesia nito. And if this is your first time, we're glad that you're able to join us tonight for the Friday night. We're thankful. Please make sure to stop by sa ating connections table for first time kasi meron po kayong free Bible. Pwede niyong piliin mapa-English po ito o Tagalog. And please take time kung gusto niyong makilala ang bawat isa. Hiling natin naman natili po kayo at ng Lord. Tayo po ay magwawakas na yung gabi sa ating 13-week sermon series sa book or sa letter sa pastoral epistle na 1 Timothy. Ito po ay liham na isinulat ni Paul, ni Apostle Paul, sa isang mahigain or timid na pastor na pangalan ay Timothy. For the past 3 months, we are studying what a healthy, gospel-centered church should look like. And so far, nakita po natin that a gospel-centered church is a church that preaches the biblical gospel, prays for the salvation of the nations, a church where men and women biblically behave in corporate worship, where biblically qualified pastors and deacons serve in the office, A church that combats false doctrines. A church that relates to one another na hindi parang pamilya, kung hindi pamilya. A church that relates to one another like family and honors widows, the vulnerable, and respects and cares for their pastors, employers, and a church, pag-aninala natin last week, is satisfied in Christ. Tonight, makikita po natin sa huling pagkakataon para sa series na ito na a gospel-shaped church fights the good fight of faith, hopes in God, and guards the gospel. A gospel-shaped church fights the good fight of faith, hopes in God, and guards the gospel. 3 points na kung saan dinivide po natin yung passage na ito ngayong gabi. Number one, fight the good fight of faith, verses 11 hanggang 16. Number two, hope in God, verses 17 hanggang 19. And number three, guard the gospel, verse 20 hanggang 21. Number one, fight the good fight of faith. Ang Christian life, ang isang buhay ng isang Kristiyano po ay palaging nasa digmaan. Dapat may sapat tayong kaalaman and discernment sa pakikipaglaban. Thankfully, ang letter ni Paul na ito na sinulat na kay Timothy, lalo na sa huling bahagi na ito, gives us guidelines on how to fight a good fight of faith. Now, with this point number one, meron po tayong 5 sub-points na I want to walk with you na makikita natin sa passage na ito. First of all, and ito yung mga guidelines na binibigay sa atin. One theologian calls ito mga verses na babasahin natin ay yung mga rules of engagement, which is a language na ginagamit po sa gera. So, parang ito yung mga rules of engagement. Pero ito yung mga guidelines na pwede natin makuha bilang iglesia. Unang-una, to fight a good fight of faith, we should, first of all, run away from sin. Run away from sin. Verse 11. But as for you, now ito muna tayo dyan. Mga salitang as for you ay madalas gamitin po yan sa pastoral epistle ni Paul. Upang i-compare at saka i-contrast kung ano ang tunay na kuwad na gospel ministry. Tapos susundan niya ito ng mga instructions. Halimbawa, sinabi niya si Timothy sa 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, na habang pasama ko ng pasama mga tao, people will be deceiving and being deceived. And here's yung kanyang instructions of verse 14 ng 2 Timothy 3. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. So again, but as for you, parang yung passage na din. O kaya naman sa 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, nung pinanggit niya na darating ang panahon ng mga tao ay hindi na makikinig sa sound teaching, ang sinabi niya sa verse 5, sa 2 Timothy 4, as for you, you know that? Always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Ang point ni Paul is to warn and to remind Timothy na sa dami ng mga false teachers na dumadami sa loob ng iglesia, dapat mag-ingat siya sa kanyang asa na hindi siya ma-associate sa mga false teachers na ito. Sabi ko dyan, bait tayo sa passage natin sa verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, ito ulit tayo dyan. Anong ibig sabihin niya ng O man of God? Ang term ng man of God ay madalang po gamitin ito sa Old Testament. At kung gagamitin man ito, it is referred sa mga kasalito ay ginagamit po sa mga masasabing ating mga heroes of the faith. Gaya po ni David, ni Moses, ni Samuel, ni Elijah, tsaka ni Elisha, ginagamit yan sa mga man of God or the heroes of the faith. Now, pansinin nyo na ginamit na yung term na ito kay Timothy. He addressed Timothy this way para i-commend siya o i-encourage po siya. Na gaya ng mga heroes of the faith sa Old Testament, siya din ay pinagkatiwalaan ng salita ng Diyos. At dapat pangalagaan ito, dapat protektahan ito, dapat depensahan po ito. At anong inuutos ni Paul sa man of God na si Timothy? Makita ulit natin sa verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. These things. Ano yung these things? Yung these things na to refer sa mga nabanggit sa verses 3 hanggang 10 and chapter 6, which is yung inamat po natin last week, pertaining sa pera or loving money. That he should not, he should run away from the love of money, from discontent, from envy, slander, foolishness, evil desires, and false doctrines. He should run away from these sins. Mga kaibigan, kapag dating sa love of money at mga dangers na nakalakip po dito, minsan hindi sapat yung lumakad na lang tayo papalayo at iwas. Dapat takbuhan natin. No? Dapat takbuhan natin yung mga ganun. Let us run away sa mga unbiblical na kapamamaraanan ng paggamit ng pera. So paano maraan? Gaya ng bribery, usuhol, gaya po ng panluloko ng kapwa, pag-scam, paying for sexual pleasures, yung dalawang P, porn and prostitution, blackmail, a compromising business deal or partnership, the lust to have more and more money, more material wealth, kahit hindi naman kailangan. Run away from it. Say it goes sa lahat ng mga sinful thoughts and activities that tempt us every day. We run from it. We don't entertain it. We don't baby it. We run away from sin. Huwag natin isipin na hindi mangyayari sa akin yan, Pastor. At sa mga, hindi mangyayari sa akin yan, imposible dahil napakatinong po. Huwag mo nandun po tayo sa disposition o pag-iisip na yan, then nasa pwede mo tayo malagay sa alam natin. O baka nandidinikado po tayo kung yung ating paniniwala. Kung ganito po ating pag-isip, then we are probably in danger. Sabi sa 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Kapag bahay mo'y natutok sa kasalanan, kapag bahay, alam natin, mahuhulog tayo sa kasalanan. Kung alam natin, kahinaan natin yan, huwag na tayo makipagtaas-taas mo na. Huwag natin dahil yung tenatin. Buhan po natin parang yung dalawa ni Joseph sa kalagitnaan po ng temptation. He ran away. Flee, literally, physically, remove himself from the scene na pwede maging hindi kaaya-aya sa kanya ng Diyos. What areas in your life that you're weak at, that probably you need to run away from. And you're trying to talk yourself by saying, okay lang yan. Pwede ako manatili. Wala namang problema. And slowly, dahan-dahan po tayo pumukulog sa kasalanan. Sabi nga ni John Calvin, ang puso daw ng tao ay isang idol-making factory. Kasi minsan po, hindi yung sapat yung takbuhan lamang ang kasalanan. Kasi may tendency po tayo dumakbo pa kung tama isa pang kasalanan. Kaya po, masama ang ating puso. Yes, natakbuhan natin, pero kung puro takbuhan na po ginagawa natin, eh magandang mapupunta rin tayo sa ibang kasalanan na pwede natin ikabagsak mo. So, hindi yung sapat yung takbuhan. Kaya instruction important, hindi mo di ba just yung second sample natin. Pursue Christ-like characteristics. Pursue Christ-like characteristics. As the verse 11, hindi mo yan. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Ilan po yan? Lima ulit. So sa sub-point natin, meron ulit ibang sub-point. Anong sabi niya? Anong klaseng pursue at saan gagawin natin? First of all, righteousness. Ito po ay ang pamumuhay na may integridad. Saan po? Sa loob ng tahanan, sa eskwalahan, sa opisina, sa iglesia, kahit saan. Which means consistent yung pagiging yung integrity po natin. Sa harapan ng tao. Righteousness po yun. Godliness. Ano po ang godliness? Ito ay ang pamumuhay natin ng may kabanalan sa harapan ng Diyos. Sa righteousness, pwede, sa So pag-acto natin ng integridad, pwede pa natin malinlang ang mga tao na nakakita, pero sa harapan ng Diyos, hindi. That's why God, hindi sa harapan ng Diyos, nakikita niya yung postura ng ating puso. Faith and love. Ito ay pagtitiwala natin sa Panginoon on how we handle our relationships. The thing is, God sovereignly surrounds us with people who are impossible. Sa tahanan, sa opisina, sinituate ka sa isang flat na may ka-sharing ka na probably na meron ka na mag-share sa flat na yun, or maybe neighbors. Pero faith and love, ito yung pagtitiwala natin sa Panginoon that He sovereignly placed these relationships in our lives in order for us to love the unlovable. It's easy to love the lovable. It's easy to love the cute and kind. But there are times that God places people in our lives natin that will squeeze your patience out from you. And minsan mo yung bigay na tayo. But, by the grace of God, faith and love, and trust in relationships na to sa Panginoon because hindi aksidente na inilagay siya sa Panginoon sa buhay mo. Steadfastness. Persevering in the midst of a difficult or even hopeless situation. Lastly, gentleness sa self-points na ito. Ito ay isang mahalagang aspeto sa isang buhay Kristiyano. Lalo na in correcting false teachers. Napaka-importante po yung gentleness. This is extending patience and kindness sa mga tao na kailangan po natin i-correct. So these are the attributes that we should be pursuing. Mga kaibigan, ang mga attributes ba na ito describes you. Itong mga characteristics na dapat makita sa isang tunay na Kristiyano, lalo na sa isang mamamaral ng salita ng Diyos. Lalo na sa mga ministeryo ng Panginoon. Hindi lang dapat makitaan ang katapatan sa paglilingkod, sa pagturo ng salita ng Diyos sa isang maglilingkod ng Panginoon, kundi dapat whole life of service to God ang makita. Maranasan sa kanya. We must flee from sin and pursue Christ. Run away from sin, pursue Christ-like characteristics. Third, fight the good fight of faith, which is in verse 12. As is in our happy new point. Usa chapter 4, verse 16 is about Christian life. Ito naman is a fight for the right Christian doctrine. Alright? Doctrine at saka life. Hindi po pwede i-divorce yun. Yung iyong paniniwala at iyong pamumuhay. Kung ano ang iyong paniniwala, yan po makikita sa iyong pamumuhay. Hindi po pwede magkahiwalay po ito. Ang tamang doktrina na hindi sinasakamuhay ay patay na doktrina. Ulitin ko po yun. Ang tamang doktrina na hindi sinasapamuhay ay patay na doktrina. Hindi makita sa buhay mo yun. At ang pamumuhay na walang tamang doktrina ay isang mapanganib na pananampalataya. It is a dangerous faith. Because you can do and say whatever na gusto mong sabihin to it. Ang word na fight, yung fight na sila, fight, na ginamit ni Paul dito is a word of struggle. Si Paul, pili ko kahitin sa sports yan eh. Kasi ang dami ng illustrations and probably dahil sa kanyang audience and context na kung saan mahilig sa mga Olympic Games. Pero ito ang sinabi ng paggamit na ng fight is a word of struggle na man usually ginagamit sa competition gaya ng boxing or even wrestling. Ang sinasabi ni Paul ay may mga pagkakataon ng Kristiyano, lalo na ang mga manggagawa ng salita ng Diyos, mga pastor, ay dapat ipaglaban kung ano ang tamang doktrina. At inaral na po natin ito for the past few weeks about fighting for the right doctrine. Again, pinaalalahanan ni Paul si Timothy dito. Hindi ibig sabihin ni Paul dito ay maging palaaway o maging marahas siya sa pagdepensa ng tamang doktrina. Yung met niya naghahanap ng kaaway, met niya naghahanap ng butas and from there, pakikipag-indi yun ang sinasabi. Kasi kaya masabi lang dito sa passage number 11, pursue gentleness. So hindi po yun ang sinasabi na dito. Dapat ang tapat na sundalong Kristiyano ay handang ipaglalaban ito with gentleness. Sabi ni John Calvin, isang mangangaral, isang theologian, na Christ calls all his servants to warfare. Christ called all his servants to warfare. Kailangan maging matapang tayo, mga kapatid sa Panginoon. Kailangan maging matapang tayo ipaglaban kung ano yung tunay na doktrina, ang tunay na gospel. Like I said, I'm not saying na maghanap tayo ng alay pag dumating po ang pagkakataon na may narinig tayo o may nagtuturo sa atin, sa ating mga anak, sa iglesia na ito, kapag may sinabi ako na hindi naaayon sa salita ng Diyos, may karapatan kayo, may utos kayo galing sa salita ng Diyos to correct me. You have every right to correct me. Do it gently though, with love. Okay? So, ang problema ko sa time ng Ephesus, may mga duwag na mama. May mga duwag na kalalakihan sa Ephesus na imbis na ipaglaban ang tamang doktrina, tinalikuran pa ito at nagturo ng iba. Ganun ba ito? Brothers and sisters, we should be ready to fight for the right doctrine. We should be ready to fight for the right doctrine and the right gospel, the very right gospel that gives life. If you preach and teach or allow to listen to some of a false doctrine or false gospel, that will provide death. We should be ready to give an answer. Pero kailangan ay handa din tayo magpa-correct kung tayo ay i-correct. Hindi lamang tayo nagpo-correct. We should be ready when someone approaches us na may kamalian sa narinig sa atin. We should be opening God's word and discuss this as brothers and sisters. As mentioned, kailangan po natin protect na yung tamang gospel. We need to protect the right gospel. Kailangan natin ipaglaban ang infallibility, inerrancy, and sufficiency of the Holy Scriptures. Kailangan natin ipaglaban na ang tao ay tunay na makasalanan. At walang kayang gawin upang inisin ang kanyang sarili. Walang kakayanan na iligtas ang kanyang sarili sa kanyang kasalanan. Kailangan natin ipaglaban na ang Diyos ay banal. And He will judge the world according to His righteousness. That's doctrine. Kailangan natin paglaban na si Jesus ay truly man and truly God na nagbigay ng kanyang buhay sa krus in place sa mga makakasalanan na katulad natin to pay for our sins in full. Kailangan natin paglaban na si Kristo sa ikatlong araw ay muling nabuhay. Kailangan natin paglaban ng sovereignty of God's grace in salvation. Na salvation was a sovereign choice and a gift to those who believe in Him for the praise and glory of His name. Kailangan natin paglaban na si Jesus Christ ay babalik muli to make things right and to gather His people. That is our hope. That is our joy. Kailangan ipaglaban natin kung bilang crossroads. Paglaban ninyo bilang magulang ang tamang katotohanan. Kung may napapakinggan naman yung mga anak, ang inyong mga mahal sa buhay na hindi tama yung doctrine, it would not be loving kung tayo manalating yung mga ilis. Natakan ka tahimik. Nandito ka ngayon, you are hoping to hear the right gospel. Yun din ang prayer namin that we would preach and teach the right gospel. Friends, we must fight for these doctrines. We must fight for the gospel. We boldly stand up and fight for the truth. That is the Christian life. We are in warfare. Run away from sin. Pursue Christ-like characteristics. Fight the good fight in faith. Fourth, hold tightly to the eternal life. Hold tightly to the eternal life. Verse 12. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Kung nakainig ng gospel si Timothy, siya ay iniligtas po ng Panginoon at pinagkalooban siya ng eternal life. Ganun po nangyayari. Kapag tayo ay nakainig ng gospel, God transforms our hearts of stone to a heart of flesh. We turn away from sin and trust Christ's finished work on the cross. And God gives us eternal life. That is a gift.
Not by good works, kundi gift niya.
Pero Timothy still needs to take hold of eternal life. Hindi dahil may katayanan siya, makamit ang buhay na walang hanggan. Actually, napaka-clear sa verse 12 na hindi siya nagligtas sa kanyang sarili. Ang sabi dyan, it is God who calls people to salvation, hindi ba? So that is not Paul's argument. Ang tawag po dyan, I'm gonna drop a term here, effectual calling. Effectual calling. Or God's call is effective. Mayroon tinatawag na general calling where we preach the gospel of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Pero may tinatawag na effectual calling where God speaks to the heart, where God transforms our hearts of stone to flesh. As the gospel is preached, He calls His people to Himself in a saving way. Yun ang tinatawag na effectual calling, or a calling that comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, causing us to see the beauty and of the person and work of Christ. Kasi dati hindi natin nakikita yan, pero once na narinig natin gospel, and the Holy Spirit transforms our lives, our hearts, biglang nakikita natin kung gaano tayo kasama. Biglang nakikita natin kung gaano maganda ang person and work ni Christ yung ginawa niya sa cross. And from there, God renews our wills and persuades and enables us to embrace Christ. It is through the working of the Holy Spirit that we run to God and ask Him to save us. Kung tayo lang po yun, hindi natin gagawin yun. Kasi may mga kanya-kanyang Savior na tayo. Meron Savior ng religion, may Savior ng mga rebulto, may Savior ng sarili natin, pagiging religyoso. Umiiwan sa atin po yan, patung na tayo natin din. But it is God through the gospel that He calls people to Himself that we would cry, Lord, You are God. This is what gives Timothy hope, yung gospel na yan. The hope of eternal life, buhay na walang hanggan. He needs to hold on to it and not let go of it, that he must not forget about this gospel. Pwede mga nanay ng church niya. Parehong phrase ang ginamit ni Paul at saka ni Jesus sa Matthew 14:31, yung salitang took hold. Alam niyo, si Peter, yung muna sa tubig, and Christ took hold, grabbed, and pulled him up into safety. Yung po yung term na yun. If Paul reminds Timothy to hold on to the gospel, at huwag bibitawan ito, then we need to be reminded as well na huwag po tayo bibitaw sa gospel na ito. The gospel of Christ's death, life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Bukod sa personal na pagpapaalala natin sa ating sarili patungkol sa gospel, like personal reading of the Bible, prayer, meditating on scriptures. Maganda po yan. Ituloy po ninyo yan. Huwag po kayo higit po dyan. Pero kailangan din po natin yung mga anak ng Diyos in order for us to grow sa gospel na ito. As a church, that we need to come to church to be reminded of this good news of Jesus Christ. Yes, maganda po yan. You're studying by yourself. Yes, maganda po yan. You're meditating. But no Christian can grow kung wala siyang partner, hindi siya partner sa gospel teaching church. Now, where the church sings the gospel, where the church reads the gospel, where the church prays the gospel, where the church sees the gospel through the ordinances. Ano yung ordinances? Dalawa po, one is communion. A communion is where we eat and drink together to remember Christ's suffering and death on the cross, which is mamaya mawi-witness po natin yung communion. And second, na ordinance yung tinatawag na baptism. Sabi dito sa verse 12, to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So ang sinasabi sa verse 12 is that Timothy made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Naniniwala ang mga scholars na si Timothy made this good confession. Ano yung confession na yan? That Jesus is Lord. that he came to a saving knowledge of Jesus. That's the good confession. I am now Christian. Naniniwala sa scholars that Timothy made his good confession sa kanyang baptism mismo. In the presence of many witnesses. Kasi baptism is a public declaration na ikaw ay tumalikod na sa kasalanan at kamunduhan at ilagay mo lang yung pananampalataya kay Kristo bilang Diyos at tagapagligtas. If you have been with us a few months ago, you have probably witnessed yung baptism sa Crossroads where you get to hear professions of faith, where you hear the good confessions kung paano sila nakakilala sa Panginoon, and then witness as a congregation dun sa labas that we have been baptized, that binabaptize po natin sila as a step of obedience. A public profession of repentance and faith. So naniniwala si Paul na ito, naniniwala mga scholars na ito yun. So Paul, what is Paul doing here? He's reminding Timothy, remember, he's surrounded by false teachers. May mga tao na tumalikod sa pananampalataya sa kanyang iglesia, and he is encouraging him, a timid, fearful, discouraged, young pastor. He's saying, do you remember? I was there. I witnessed your baptism. I've heard kung paano ka nakilala sa Panginoon. The God who very saved you, the very God who will sustain you. He is reminding him, pinalalakas niya. So Paul reminds Timothy of his declaration. Sa pagpapaalala ni Paul sa kanya, ay naway magbigay ito ng hope kay Timothy magpatuloy. Because he is really tired, he's really discouraged, he's fearful, wala si Paul doon. And yung mga false teachers ito, yung mga tama kung sa influential sa loob ng ancient iglesia. So Paul is encouraging him. He is to live and continue to serve in light of that day. Sapat na dapat na dahilan ito para magpatuloy sa gospel ministry si Timothy. Pero hindi pa tapos ito si Paul. Dinagdagan pa niya ito. Which is yung fifth sub-point. Keep fighting till the end. Tingnan po natin yung verse 30. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate again made the good confession. Pinapaalalahanan ni Paul si Timothy na his commander-in-chief, si Jesus Christ, also made a good confession. Christ made his confession kay Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Alam niyo istorya na yun? Nung tinawag siya ni Pilate sa John 18:33, kung siya, na tinanong siya ni Pilate, are you the king of the Jews? And ano mo yung confession na binigay ni Jesus Christ? He said, yes. I am the Messiah. Yes, I am God. Yes, I am the Lord. I am the King. Then later on, dahil sa kanyang good confession, na sinensyahan siya ng kamatayan sa krus. Proclaiming na siya ang Messiah. Paul is saying to Timothy, you're following Jesus' footsteps. As you confess that Jesus is Lord, and then you want Christ, He is Lord. So confession of that. Dapat magpakatatag siya till the end. Na kahit sa bingit na kamatayan, he is to profess Christ and the gospel, the true gospel, at walang pagbabago. Hindi lang yun, hindi lang yung encouragement niya. Binigyan din siya na isang encouragement ni Paul na tiyak din na babalik itong Kristo na ito na nagligtas sa iyo. He will come back. Tiyak din na babalik siya muli. Verse 14. To keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Timothy, magtuloy ka. Continue fighting. Continue in the faith. Because darating is Christ. Christ will come. He will make things right. Where suffering ends. And those who are saved by grace ay makakasama ng Panginoong Jesucristo for eternity. Christ will come back. Mabalik po Panginoon. Bodily in all His glory. Which means talagang yung Christ na nag-ascend, yung Christ din mismo ang babalik. the physical, visible, triumphant return of Christ to Godhead. Now, hindi, ang ba, ito yung term po rito, eschatology, or eschaton, end times, or last days, na madalas, paborito na pag-usapan ng mga karamihan. Now, una ako na po kayo, baka inaabangin ko, ano bang view ng church pagdating sa last days or sa end times. Isa lang po sa akin sa hindi ko kumipan pa rin dito actually pagdating sa view na yun. Kasi wala ako talaga nakakatiyak kung paano. Post-millennial, pre-millennial, amillennial, lahat yun ay may theological and biblical arguments of ourselves. Pero ang gusto talaga natin madinigin yung arguments. Trust me. You don't want to hear the arguments. Ang gusto natin madinig kapag bumalik na si Kristo. Lord, sino tama? Hindi yun ang gusto natin. Ang gusto natin madinig pagbalik na is this. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Matthew 25. Sa inyo or sa atin na nandito who are laboring for Christ, who are fighting sin, for those that you feel alone sa office, feel alone sa family mo because you're trying to put Christ on the pedestal and you feel tired serving Him, this is our hope. Ito ang gusto natin marinig na pagbalik na ng Master. Vaughn, Ruth, John, Rudy, well done, good, and faithful servant. That's the kind of commendation of a student. Hindi papuri ng tao. Ang papuri ng tao po ay hindi nakakasatisfy. Nakakaalitin po. Kasi mayat maya mo hahanapin, mayat maya kagagawa, magsisatero ka para makuha mo yung praises. But this is the commendation. This is the only thing na gusto natin magiging. And we only work for that thing. Because we want to please our Master. We don't labor for Jesus Christ for us to be saved. We are saved, so we labor for our Master. Okay, if you're tired, you're discouraged, you're... Tugod ka na. Parang gusto mo na mag-rebelle. Lord, I'm trying to be faithful, pero wala nangyayari. Medyo yung soft perspective kasi napakaraman natin last week. But the point here is this. There will come a time na tapos na lahat. Because we believe in the gospel that says Palestine. It is finished. And I will come. Pangako na kami. Comfort each other. Comfort your wife. Comfort your husband. Comfort your children who are laboring with you. Comfort your brothers and sisters. Hindi ho health, wealth, makapagbibigay ng comfort po sa atin in prosperity. Kasi lahat yan ay laging nawa, which is pag-uusapan natin namin ng content. Sabi ho ni Charles Thomas Studd, or kilala sa pangalan C.G. Studd, and this is a famous quotation from him. Sabi niya, all that matter is what we have done for Christ. Hindi na po yan. Friends, stand strong because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. As Paul reminds Timothy, sa limang ito, hindi niya napigilan magbigay ng papurihan sa Panginoon. In the midst of his writing, he wrote a doxology. Verse 11, 15-16, which he will display at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in the unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him the honor and eternal dominion. Amen. He broke into praises. Tinusulatan niya yung kanyang disciple na si Timothy, and it turns out that he broke in praises. Because of the promises na tinutunan niya. Now, hindi natin sure kung nag-quote ba siya sa isang ancient na creed or siya mismo nakasulat na ito. But it doesn't matter. What he is saying, lahat ng authorities are under his sovereign rule. God cannot be contained, nor he can be controlled or manipulated. He doesn't change or die. He deserves all honor and glory and praise. As you know, sinasabi ni Paul, Crossroads Church,
honor this glorious God and not the false God of this world. There is no comparison sa Diyos na ito. Itong Diyos ng gospel. Keep fighting till the end. May hanggangan po ito at may reward, which is makita natin na meron.
Number two. Maybe you're wondering, okay, we're all, akala ko, tapos na tayo, may 2 and 3 pa. Trust me, may isip po ito mga 2 and 3 natin. Okay? Pagbigyan niyo naman ako. Tagal-tagal, 2, 3 hours of movies minsan. Hope in God! Verse 17 to 19, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything. Now, pinag-usapan na ito last week, ha? Akin po, we have no idea kung bakit bumalik si Paul sa topic nito. Yung doxology na yun, dapat amen, tapos na yun eh. Pero for some strange reason, maybe, just maybe, he hangs his melody. Eh, kailangan i-address yung mga mayayaman. Parang gano'n, I mean, that's just me, probably mali yun. Pero parang ilan na pinasa siya dito kasi binalikan. Kasi may gusto siya i-address sa mga mayayaman sa church. Ako pastor para sa akin yan. Baba! Dalawang mabala. Dalawang warning sa mayayaman. Number one, huwag ipagmalaki ang iyong kayamanan. Huwag ipagmalaki. They are not to think highly about themselves at sa kanilang ari-arian at pera. Kung hindi po tayo mag-iingat, mga kapatid, pwede din tayo magmataas dahil sa ating sweldo, dahil sa ating ari-arian, dahil sa ating mga bagay na kung saan that makes us look glamorous. Kung aaminin po natin, ito, real talk lang, kung aaminin po natin ang ating puso, sa ating puso, tayo ay mabilis na kumaka o bumilib sa mga taong maraming pera. Sa mga taong mataas ang posisyon sa industriya. Ay, doktor? Abogado? That's why we love titles, mga Pilipino. Ang habra si attorney, si doctor. I mean, hindi naman mariyon kung yun talaga yung title niya. But we would just want to highlight it. Pero this is us eh, no? Mataas ang posisyon, bilid-bilid tayo sa industriya, kung maraming mamahalin at modernong kagamitan. Lalo na kung ang taong tinitingala natin ay ang ating sarili. At dahil po dito, we are tempted to think that we are better than any other people. Na may mga na kung saan mga tao na may tendency tayo ikumpara ang ating sarili sa mga tao may kakulangan. Pwedeng lumaki ang ating ulo. At ang pwede ding maging epekto nito ay pipiliin lang natin sa church kung sino yung kakausapin natin. We will be selective pagdating sa kindness, sa generosity. Magiging mapili tayo na doon. Nasa kanila ka ba? Kasi yung kapagano ay, syempre wala naman tayo naman, magkano sa doon. Pero ang entry point po dyan is anong trabaho? What do you do with that? Yeah. But then we try to gauge ourselves with people. And minsan tayo yung umiiwas pag hindi natin lalo, which is mali din yun. That's not the gospel church. It's not religion. Kung hindi natin kapalayas, we have a tendency to have this divider sa atin. At kaya naman pinaalalahanan ni Paul sa verse 17 na ang lahat ng meron kayong mayayaman ay galing sa Diyos. Lahat ang meron natin galing sa Diyos who sovereignly makes people rich and sovereignly makes people who are not. But one is not better than the other. Huwag ipagmalaki ang inyong kayamanan. Ikalawa, huwag ilagay ang inyong pag-asa sa inyong kayamanan. Dahil ang kayamanan po ay naluluma, umilipas. Ang kayamanan po ay material things ay walang katiyakan sa buhay. No uncertainty. Pwede managaw, mawala, maubos, mawalan ng halaga. Yan po, material things of this world. Ang tiyak lamang sa kayamanan, listen to this, ang tiyak lamang sa kayamanan ay katiyakan na hindi ito tatagal. Yun ang katiyakan sa pera. Yun ang katiyakan sa mga material things. Proverbs 23:4-5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven. Proverbs 23:4-5. Kakukuha ko itong parang itong ginamit. Sinasabi na dito na ang pera at kayamanan ay parang may pakpak. Madaling lumipad papalayo sa'yo. Mapapikit ka lang, yung language na nito, pag dinat mo, wala na. Pag tulog mo, may pera ka, pag gising mo, wala na. Di ba? Hindi pa dumadamo sa kamay mong sweldo, parang palipad, biglang umiwas na. Mga kapatid, don't place our hopes on material gifts, but place our hope on the gift giver. God. Sure na wala ng trabaho. Sure. Nabawasan ng sweldo. Malaking katayuhan to sa buhay ng pamilya. Pero your job, your salary is one of the means that God uses to provide for your family. And if He chooses to use another means to provide for you, then praise God. Don't trust on money. Don't trust on your work. Kung meron man uncertainty, tayo mga OFWs ng Dubai, nakakaintindi yan. Alam natin, kaya nga na-invento yung salita for good eh. Alam natin, hindi pa itatagal dito. Alam mo natin for good? Hindi, for bad. Hindi ako babalik dito. Well, of course, we know what that means. Uncertainty. There's no uncertainty. And so goes money. Mga kapatid, who are you hoping on right now? Who are you hoping on right now? Are you hoping on relationships? Are you hoping on your health, your beauty, your youth? Are you hoping on your strength, your jobs? Lahat po yan, sandali lang yan. That's why we don't put our hope, our joy, our trust, our significance on these things that are fleeting. Fleeting. If you think the Lord has blessed you financially or materially, my question is, has pride clouded your heart and mind? Hindi kaya dahil sa ating estado sa buhay, halaga ng sweldo, posisyon sa trabaho at mga magagalbo at mga haling material na bagay, ay tingin natin yung mas mataas na tayo sa iba? Na mas mataas tayo sa mga kaibigan at kamag-anak natin na nasa Pilipinas? Na kapag tayo ay uuwi, kulang na ng red carpet, makataas ang mga ulo, bitbit ang mga plastic, junior, nanay, tatay. Pero pag wala na, uuwi na na kayo. Pero yung bati. Ang lihat, ang lihat na ito, itong letter na ito. Alam niyo ba na sinulat ito para kay Timothy? Pero binabasa ito sa buong church ng Ephesus. Binabasa ito ng malakas. At maniniwala na may mga mayayamang employers at mahihirap na slaves sa congregation na yan. And Paul is reminding them that they are now family because of Christ and should not view or treat each other differently dahil sa kanilang status ng buhay. The rich should be serving, the poor should be serving one another. So ano dapat natin gawin mas to sa mga material na bagay at saka sa labi? Kailangan bang i-dedicate na sinasabi mo? Pastor, i-dedicate natin lahat ng mga adhiyan ng pera sa mga mahihirap. Yung ba sinasabi mo? Hindi po yun na sinasabi. Well, una, hindi po sinasabi. Hindi rin sinasabi ng verse 17. Ang sinasabi sa verse 17, enjoy it. Enjoy. Hindi pinagbabawal ang Diyos na enjoy natin. Of course, we need to enjoy it in the boundaries of holiness and righteousness in Scripture. Hindi sinasabi enjoy mo yan. And then magkasala ka. God has blessed you with material wealth and enjoy it for His glory. Pero tingnan natin verse 18 to 19. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Simple lang po. Gamitin natin ang ating pera to serve others for the glory of God. Yung po ang sinasabi. Gamitin natin ang pera for the glory of God and serving others. Now, a few diagnostic questions po sa ating ulit. Number one, in terms pagdating sa pera. Pinagpapraybahan natin kung paano na, kung paano tayo makakatulong sa iba using our money. Gaano ka-intentional ang ating pagbibigay pag tayo nagbibigay sa offering o nagbibigay ng tulong. Gaano ka-intentional. May mga tao pa sa buhay natin na nangangailangan ng tulong ngayon na hindi natin tinutulungan pero kaya natin tumulong. Of course, there's wisdom to that kasi pastor, umaasa na, then that's good. There should be wisdom. Pero kung sa tingin na nagmamaka, ano tayo, hintay tayo ng pera, definitely problema tayo sa puso. Sa panahon ng Ramadan, pinag-iisipan ba natin kung paano tayo pwede natin paglingkuran ang mga kasamahan natin sa opisina na nagpa-fasting. Kasi sabi dito, rich in good deeds. This is a play on words. Sabi naman, oh, rich? Huwag gamitin yung pera sa ano, but be rich in good deeds. Are you serving yung mga kaibigan natin Muslim sa panahon na ito? Na kung saan nanghihina, mairita marahil, o maaaring hindi nagtatrabaho dahil nagpa-fast? O tayo ba ang mga Kristiyano na maraming komento? Mga kaibigan, gamitin natin ang season ng Ramadan to bridge relationships. Hindi lang for the sake of body-body tayo. Hindi po eh, for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of Christ, as Christians, we look for ways to be rich in good deeds for the glory of God. Serve them. Ano ba ng tubig? No? Serve them. Gusto mo, ako na, gusto mo mag-bring muna, ako na muna dito. Gusto mo mag-bagging out. Serve, look for ways to serve them. Let you adore Jesus Christ. Have ganun pala yung tura ni Christ. Yung mga comment nila sa atin kapag nakikita natin tayo araw-araw sa mga ay, ganun pala yung tura ni ano pala si Christ? O si Christ naman na? So verse 19, sabi ni Paul, if we become generous sa ating pera, we lose that is uncertain. Which is better. But we gain something that is certain. We give temporal things to receive eternal things. Binanggit ni Jesus yan sa Matthew chapter 6. Now we should store our treasures in heaven. Gamitin natin ang ating pera for earthly good and heavenly glory. Gamitin ang concrete of number 2 yan. Gamitin natin ang ating pera for earthly good and heavenly glory. Number 3 and last. Guard the gospel. Guard the gospel. Verse 20. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you and avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge or false gospel. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. Sa ancient world, ang marami po na pag-deposit ng pera or valuables ay hindi through bank. Wala naman siyang banko ng tempo na yun. Kapag halimbawa may babiyahe ng matagal o ng malayo, nangoy po nila sa kanilang pera or sometimes yung mga valued possession, ay i-deposit po nila ito sa tao na pinagkakatiwalaan nila. Iiwanan po nila ito. So ang trabaho ng ahente na ito is babantayan yung gamit na yun until pagbalik nila iahod sa kanilang pera. So si Timothy ay pinagkatiwalaan, nabantayan, natingatan ang most valuable possession ni Paul at ng buong New Testament church. Alam niyo ba kung ano yan? Paulus mo natin sinasabi. The gospel. He is to guard them with his life. Cross us be to guard this valuable possession, this gospel with our lives. We need to remind each other about it, teach it, sing it, read it, encourage each other about it, defend it. May danger po kung hindi natin mababantayan ito. Kasi nangyari ito sa Ephesus at nangyari din sa napakadaming churches throughout time. Those who fail to guard the gospel ay nalihis sa ibang puro and rejected Christ. Upang maging healthy, gospel-shaped, gospel-centered church, we need to guard it. Yes, importante yung may mga faithful pastors na nagtuturo ng gospel at deacons sa nalilingkod. Importante yan. Yes, need natin ipag-pray ang nations to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to serve men. We need men and women to be biblically behaving sa corporate worship. Yes,
We need to honor widows, employers, and elders, and invest for kingdom purposes. Yes, importante para maningelte as a church. But in order to guard the gospel and have a thriving, healthy church, isang elemento ang mahalaga. We need God's grace, which is in verse 21. The last part of the letter. Because people, healthy churches are sustained and strengthened by God's grace alone. It is that same grace that you have saved. You have been saved through faith and not by yourself. It is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2. So verse 21, yung you dito is in the plural, hindi ko singular. So ano ibig sabihin na ito? Ibig sabihin na ito, Paul is addressing this hindi lang kay Timothy, kung hindi sa whole church ng Ephesus. At sa atin dito sa Crossroads, we are reminded that we should be guarding the gospel. As a church, let us be reminded to guard the right doctrine and the right gospel entrusted to us. Kasi po, ang unhealthy doctrine or false gospel produces not only it doesn't, a false gospel will not only lead people to produce unhealthy conduct or way of living, but it also leads to death. Lahat ng kasalanan stems from a failure to believe rightly about God and what He has done. In short, wrong doctrine will produce wrong living. Alam niyo, may isa pang letter na naisulat. Naisulat patungkol sa church ng Ephesus. At isinulat ito ng isang matanda na ang pangalan niya ay John. Na kung saan si Jesus, who spoke to John, wrote Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Sa Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, Jesus through John commended the church of Ephesus. Ito na yung book sa Bible. Jesus commended in church of Ephesus dahil sa kanilang doctrinal discernment. Talagang pinag-iabot nila yung tamang doktrina and able to defend the church from false teachers at false teaching. Jesus commended them. But He has one concern sa kanila. Verse 4, Revelation 3. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Sa ibang translation, it would say, you have forgotten your first love. They have lost their love in Christ. They have failed to love one another. They have lost this love. Genuine love for each other bilang pagkakapatid dito sa Crossroads flows naturally from a love of the true doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Ang genuine Christian love is informed love. Tama po yun. So friends, do you practice the doctrine of love as much as you love your doctrine? Yes, alam po natin na mahal natin ang gospel, mahal natin yung katuruan ng salita ng Diyos. Nakikita ba ito sa buhay natin? Kung tama ang doktrina mo, dapat tama rin ang pagmamahala ng bawat isa. Crossroads, let us be committed to studying, believing, teaching, practicing sound theology, and saturate ourselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we want to be a gospel and healthy church, then we should love Christ above all else. Na mag-overflow yan sa bawat isa. We're not loving each other dahil may kailangan tayo sa isa't isa. We're not loving each other, treating each other as equal dahil sa napilitan ka lang. We do this because of our love for Jesus Christ. We give because of our love for Jesus Christ. We serve because of our love for this. Why? Because we were loved first. That's why we love. A gospel-shaped church fights the good fight of faith, hopes in God, and guards the gospel. Let's pray. Panginoon, maraming salamat po. I know the most repeated word in the day is the gospel.
So I pray sa ilang beses po natin namin narinig ang salitang gospel at yung mensahe mismo ng gospel. Ikaw po ang tumatok sa puso at isipan ng bawat isa. Dalangin namin ngayong gabi, Panginoon, na ikaw po ay magligtas sa mga hindi kaligtas. Na ang tanging paraan ng kaligtasan ay ang pananampalataya kay Kristo na siyang namatay sa krus para sa aming mga kasalanan at muling mabuhay. At kung sino man maniniwala at ilalagay ang pananampalataya sa inyo, Panginoon sa Kristo, ay makakaroon po ay naman ang buhay. Magligtas po kayo. Sa mga kapatid at Panginoon, narinig po li ang gospel na ito ay lumaganglab sa aming puso. That this would fire our hearts, Lord, with passion, burn with passion, to not just herald the gospel of Jesus Christ, but to live it. I pray itong time ng Ramadan would be a time that we would make Christ look beautiful and satisfying. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.